Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we know South Florida is an international region with deep ties to Latin America, but is it among the most globally connected areas in America? A recent report from the Miami Urban Future Initiative presents the case that the Miami metro area competes with New York, San Francisco, and LA to be a top globalized city. The study looks at a cross-section of data from the numbers of immigrants owning businesses to international flights to exports to determine what makes us such an internationally connected place. The Miami Urban Future Initiative is a partnership with FIU, the Knight Foundation, and the Creative Class Group. Stephen Pedigo is the co-author of the study and is an economic advisor for the Creative Class Group. He's also the director of the NYU Shack Institute Urban Lab, and he's joining us via Skype to break down the findings of this report. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us, man. I appreciate it.
Louis, thanks for having me.
You know, is it fair to say that Miami is one of America's most globally connected cities?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting things about our study was that we sought out to ask that answer that specific question. And I think when you start to look at an array of different types of metrics, you know, the types of people that make up Miami, the connections that Miami has to the world, the types of business that's done in Miami, what you start to see is some amazing connections to other international communities, actually.
Yeah, let's talk about how you measure these global connections and what raises Miami up. What are a couple of the big ones? You kind of just touched on it.
Yeah, so the things that we looked at specifically, right? One is the people that live in Miami. I think if you look at Miami's makeup of its community, what you find is that it has a large number of immigrants that are living there, foreign-born residents. And in fact, it ranks first among all of the 52 largest metropolitan areas in the country. But more importantly than that, not just international residents, we looked at international residents who have advanced degrees and bachelor's degrees, right? That is that sort of educated, what we would call that quote-unquote creative class. And what was very interesting is that Miami actually ranked second, only behind San Jose. So it's interesting that when you look at Miami's population, it's very international, but it's very internationally and educated as well. So that was one key indicator that we looked at. You know, the other thing that we looked at was this idea of exports and imports. And with the whole debate around tariffs and things now, we're hearing more about this conversation about how many goods and services are exported out of a region. And what's interesting is that when we looked at exports, Miami is among the top 10 in terms of exports. So this question of connections of the types of business that is happening in the community is absolutely globally connected. The third thing that we looked at, which is absolutely a strength for Miami, is this idea of a global airport. And in fact, if you do the type of work that I do, which is sort of helping and advising cities think about their economic development strategies, airports play an amazing important role. In fact, we would argue that outside of universities, they tend to be one of the most important assets that a community can have and invest in. And as we looked at Miami's airport, Miami's airport is number one for international freight, almost 1.5 million tons. We look at the types of airport passengers, almost 26.6 million airport passengers, ranking second in the country. So this idea of that not only are you a cosmopolitan international region with educated talent that is doing international business, but you're globally connected as well. The final thing that we looked at is we looked at international businesses. Miami ranks at among the top 10 for foreign-owned businesses as well. Those are the types of businesses that are owned by immigrants throughout the country.
Let me tackle a couple of these. So there's a lot going on there. Let's come back to the immigrant population. So second only to San Jose in the percentage of the immigrants living within the area. Do we know how many of those folks are coming in with higher degrees, with a lot of education?
Yeah, almost 40% of the population of those residents have some type of bachelor's degree and associate's degree. So it is a large number of residents that are international residents who are living in Miami, who are educated. So it's absolutely an asset for Miami in terms of the educational attainment of those residents.
And why are they coming to Miami? Is there something specific about this region, or is it just, well, geographically, maybe it's just closer than other places? I mean, what's special about this place?
I think there are lots of things for Miami, right? Obviously, the geographical location plays an important role, particularly as you look at Latin America and the Caribbean. So absolutely, to your point, that proximity plays an important piece. But, you know, I think the other thing for a lot of uh, for international communities is that the folks are attracted to the quality of place. A lot of the asset that the assets that Miami has to offer, you know, great things in terms of some sense of affordability. You know, there's obviously great restaurants. There's great lifestyle to be had in Miami, which we know that a lot of educated creative class workers today, as they make those location decisions, are absolutely attracted to those issues of quality of place. So those, you know, if we're thinking about those two assets, those play an important role, not to mention that Miami's got some very interesting emerging industries that are attracting both international investment as well as people. Your development as a international media center, looking at healthcare and biosciences, looking at the role of your large growing sort of startup community that's doing a lot around consumer goods. A lot of those industries are also helping to attract both foreign investment as well as foreign workers.
And you talked about this city being a major location for exporting. What are we exporting most?
Well, you are absolutely, if we're looking at financial services, is a very important service that's getting exported. Business services. There's also a lot of physical cargo that comes through Miami as well. So it is both on the physical goods sides of things, but also a lot of the services that Miami's industries provide as well.
And then you talk about the airport, and I guess maybe we take for granted that we have such a big airport that's actually expanded over the last decade. And it's not just the fact that we're bringing in tourists. It's also, as you said, we're bringing in a lot of freight. We're bringing in people from not just Latin America, but around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you think about Miami's assets and what you can really build upon from an economic development standpoint, the airport is critical. Yes, it's important to the tourism sector in Miami, which is a very large key piece of the economy, but it's also important for business, right? One of the things that we have found through some additional research, not this study, but others, is looking at the idea of the importance of an airport. And yes, it's important to move people for hospitality and move physical goods, but the fact that you can connect people throughout the world in terms of business hubs is really critical. So you can imagine that as Miami continues to invest in its assets, particularly this idea, is it a financial center or is it a business center or a place that's doing all of those interesting sectors of research or investment, the airport will play a very, very important role in terms of being able to connect people to hub to hub.
I'm talking with Stephen Pettigope, director of the NYU Shack Institute Urban Lab and economic advisor for the Creative Class Group. He's the co-author of a new study entitled Benchmarking Miami's Globalization. We're examining the factors that make Miami one of the most internationally connected cities in the country right now, even beyond New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco. Stephen, you had mentioned earlier, too, when you talk about immigrants coming to the area, being attracted to the area, and not just bringing, you know, their degrees, higher education, but also we're talking about a creative class that's coming in and developing here. First, let's start by defining what is the creative class.
Sure. We define the creative class as people that have skills in technology, research and design, folks that have skills in arts and culture, professional services, as well as sort of that research piece. People like myself who work at universities, for instance.
And so, I mean, is it that we're attracting those people here, or are we developing? Are we doing a good job of developing that here within our own population?
I think you're doing both pretty well. Let me give you an example. So, for instance, one of the things that we know is that Miami's, if we look at the larger share of Miami's creative class over the last decade, that number itself has grown not just for international residents, but also domestic residents as well. So there is a large rising tide in Miami's creative class, partly because it's becoming an even more appealing place to live. It's competing with the likes of New York and Washington, D.C. and San Francisco and Chicago and others. So it's becoming a center that is, in a sense, almost becoming a magnet for talent. The other thing that I would say that Miami has done very well, and this is a credit to the higher education institutions there, for instance, our partner, FIU University, has done a very good job of being a gateway institution, an institution that's providing opportunity for students to connect into the local industries there. You know, if you look at, for instance, some of the interesting emerging sectors around technology or computer science or health services, FIU and others like Miami University have done a very good job of building those sort of industry partnerships that really provide that pathway. You know, and that's really critical. One of the things that we tell universities and tell communities all over the world is that that pathway, creating that stickiness for university students, is really important. You know, Miami is one of the top 10 largest college towns in the country if we look at the sheer number of students. And so being able to not only keep those college students there, but also mix that with some of the international talent that you have. You know, Miami's sort of seeing this real rebirth of its knowledge and creative-based sectors for sure.
And then we talk about, we've talked about this on the program many times, actually, that this is now the hottest place for startup, for the startup culture, for the growth of entrepreneurship. South Florida, again, recently ranked as the top region in the country for new business. But how does the startup culture here and investment in new businesses contribute to, you know, everything that you found?
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting is that when we looked at foreign-born businesses, right, those are businesses or startup businesses that are owned by international immigrants. It is interesting. Miami is among the top 10 there. But what we found was a lot of those small businesses tend to be smaller in scale comparatively to, so for instance, like San Jose or San Francisco or even New York. So one of the things I think is we look at Miami's startup culture, which if we think about the improvements that have happened to support that the growth of a technology-based sector, a startup sector in Miami over the last decade, it's been amazing, partly in effort because of a lot of the efforts of the regional economic development groups, but also folks like the Knight Foundation and others. You know, there is an opportunity here to grow this even more. And that is to say, while we're seeing lots of startup activity, and you're right, ranked first among, on the index for this, one of the things that we want to make sure we're doing is growing and scaling those businesses, moving those businesses just beyond local service to this idea of, again, how do they export goods and services outside of the region to other places of the country, other places of the world. So in my mind, there's a lot of growth opportunity for Miami in terms of this question of how do you help grow and scale some of the international businesses that are there.
All right. So we're painting this really pretty picture of Miami and the South Florida region, but let me flip it a little bit on you here. So we depend a lot on real estate and as you said, the finance sector. How might those be a negative factor, though?
Well, I think, you know, there is lots of concern. I mean, that's, I think what you're asking is some of the concerns that we have as we think about Miami's, one of the Miami's economy, but also some of the challenges. I think that if I was looking at Miami's sector, one of the things that I would suggest is that you're right. There is a heavy presence on real estate, even hospitality development. So this question about how do we grow other sectors in the economy, right, that can play a larger role. So, for instance, when there is a downturn in the economy, we don't feel the crash as heavy in the community. So in my mind, that goes to really gearing up support for, you know, biosciences, health sciences, where we know there's this real specialization and real sort of expertise in the region that's growing. It's about growing the media and broadcast center there, right, in terms of thinking about Miami as a place that's pushing out new ideas and information. So there's other sectors that will need support. That said, there are issues that we have to address with some of the livability. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you know, I think one of the things that's exciting about Miami is that, yes, it's got great quality of places, attracting talent all over the world. What we know, though, is that we do face challenges of affordability, transportation, all of those challenges that a lot of growing metropolitan areas face. And we're going to have to address those issues head on, because when a region gets between 5 and 6 million people, as you know, it becomes congested. It filling that start in traffic without having that connectivity.
You know, we just did a show yesterday on public transit. So, yes, we do know that. You know, we're talking about the immigrant population, too, is and another question about, you know, volatility is the fact that we have a number of immigrants from Latin American countries under extreme political turmoil. I think of Venezuela, Nicaragua. Do the economic and political instabilities of these countries threaten Miami's economic standing and our position globally, I guess?
I would flip it. I would ask this question of this, does some of the policies that the United States is looking at in terms of how it's managing its immigration have an impact on Miami? And one of the things that we believe, my colleagues, Rich Florida and others at the initiative, is that, look, as we look at the national immigration policies, Miami, like, you know, regions like San Francisco, San Jose, New York, et cetera, may feel the pressures of some federal immigration policies in other metropolitan areas. So in my mind, it's more this question, not of what other countries are doing, but what is the feel that we're sort of seeing here domestically and our sort of federal policies in immigration that will impact some of our cities.
Let me finish with this. It's my understanding you're planning to follow up on this study this year. What's going to be different?
We are. So we're going to look, we're going to continue to track the progress of this. The idea of Miami as a global city will continue to be a key piece of this. I think one of the things that we'll dive a little bit deeper in is to look at how are particular growth sectors impacted by Miami's sort of role as a global center. I think we'll be interested to look greater at not just the connections that Miami have between Latin America and the Caribbean, but also these connections to Europe, I think is a question that we're really centered on. So that's part of the global city work. We're also going to do some new analysis. We're going to look at affordability this year. We're going to dive deeply into affordability. We're going to dive deeply into this question of transit and connectivity. So there are some new ideas and new reports that we're also going to issue on the upcoming year. Just to continue this conversation, I think one of the things that we're excited about at the Miami Urban Future Initiative is helping to provide policy leaders, elected officials, with the expertise and with the knowledge to help inform some policy decisions, as well as just some investment and recruitment opportunities as well.
Stephen Pettigo, again, director of the NYU Shack Institute Urban Lab and economic advisor for the Creative Class Group. He's one of the co-authors of the new study entitled Benchmarking Miami's Globalization. Again, looking at how Miami has become one of the more internationally connected cities here in the United States. Stephen, it's always a pleasure, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.